Thank you for checking out Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. It really means a lot to me that you're listening to this podcast. If you listen and you like the content, then make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave a review. Please do that. And also go check me out on some of my other platforms. I have a long-running YouTube channel. I've got a blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com. If you're interested in becoming a CRA or you're interested in getting a career in this industry, go to thecraacademy.com. If you're a research site owner interested in getting more studies for your site or negotiating better contracts for your site, go to my blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com, and check it out. I offer consulting services. If you're a pharma, biotech, life sciences company, a CRO, I own a startup CRO, and we're here to help you, whatever it is you want. If you're a CRO, we can white label a lot of services for you. We have CRA coverage across the country at cost. We can do this at scale. If you're a pharma company, we are a full service CRO, and we're very confident in our pricing, and we are extremely competitive at bidding. And if you're also interested in your own digital marketing and leveraging a podcast maybe for yourself, reach out to me, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Again, thank you very much and enjoy the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 200 and can you make a guess?
43.
245.
Damn, I'm always within like two.
245 of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Hello to YouTube. Hello to Facebook. This is going to be too long for LinkedIn, but don't get the link to. Hello, LinkedIn.
How long can it be on LinkedIn?
10 minutes as a raw file. Okay. You could put links to any YouTube video on there, but any length. But to be like natively uploaded, only 10 minutes. I got a good topic because this is going to be our March webinar. So Carla's going to make slides. And it's about working in your business and working on your business, which is something we tell clients all the time.
That's a lot of material.
You need to do both.
That's a lot of material. We've done those things separately.
Yeah, we got to combine it. So from the perspective of a research site. From the perspective of a research site.
I thought we were doing blinded, double blinded.
No, that's a short video. We can do that later.
Okay.
We don't need to go 20 minutes or longer on that.
Okay.
And that's not a webinar material.
Yeah, I was wondering where you were going with this.
No. This is working in the business and working on the business. Right? For a research site, but also it could be for literally anything. But for our purposes, for the research sites out there. Right? Or even the independent consultants, like the independent contract CRAs, they're not, you know, they don't get a pass. You have to listen to this as well and watch.
All right.
So how does the typical conversation go when we get a potential client on the phone who's thinking of starting a research site, right? They always are thinking, okay, I need to get studies. And I need to get a doctor, and then I need to hire somebody that's working on the business.
Or I'd like to start a CRO.
Or they jump all that and say, I'd like to just start a CRO.
Right.
Right off the bat.
Right there.
So that's working on the business, right? But then there's also a component of working in the business, right? That's doing the work. So the example is, an easy example is a pool cleaner. Right, working in his business is simple. He's the one scooping out the leaves from the pool,
sure.
Scrubbing the walls of the pool,
getting chemicals right, all that.
Chemistry, all that stuff, right? Repair,
mm-hmm.
That's working in the business. To be a good pool man, you obviously have to know how to work in the business. Know how to clean the pools.
Sure.
To be a successful pool man, not only do you have to know that, but you have to know how to build your business and work on it. What's the paperwork you need? What's the licenses you need? What certification do you need? How do you expand your route? How do you keep a client? How do you retain them? How do you upsell?
Sure.
How do you... All kinds of stuff. That's working on the business. No different for research clinic owners. No, I don't get why people think that they can learn how to work on their site but not know how to work in it. They can just hire someone to do that.
Well,
Which is a strategy you can do.
To a certain extent, you can do that.
Correct.
But I still think you're more apt to succeed if you know everything there you possibly can about your business, right? The more you know, the better off you'll be in any given situation.
Yes.
So if you have no clue on how to be a research coordinator, I think you're at a disadvantage mm-hmm. when you're working on your business.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to know how to answer certain questions time and, you know, every once in a while, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's beneficial to know all that you can.
Sure. And you can also, you can outsource. Like, you can hire people. You can hire consultants like us to do your biz dev. We provide SOPs for you. But doesn't mean you shouldn't learn how to work in your own business. That's the smart thing to do. You can hire people. They're not going to manage and oversee your business, right. The operations.
And I think we've even discussed this before in terms of your employees, right?
Yeah.
If you have a coordinator who's complaining about something, right, and being overworked, how will you have any gauge on whether or not this is true if you haven't right. experienced that yourself?
Right.
So.
And how do you know if they're doing what they should be doing if you have no idea of what it is they're doing in the first place right. or how to do it?
Yeah.
It's nonsense, yeah. right? You have to do both. And yes, you should hire people, but you're gonna have to work in your business at some point. You're not Warren Buffett where you can just hire teams of people to do things. And even Warren Buffett knows when he invests in a company, he owns a portfolio, Berkshire Hathaway. When he gets into the insurance business or the underwear business or the chocolate business, all kinds of stuff, he learns the details of what it takes to work
sure.
in the business. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean he's doing it, but he learns.
Right.
He understands. He knows the key metrics,
mm-hmm.
right? And you need to as well. What? How many randomizations do you need to pay the bills? You know, what does a randomization entail? Like how do you go from screening to randomized?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get someone to screen? What's the process of consent? What's the protocol deviations? You got to know all this stuff. So that's working in the business.
Mm-hmm.
We teach that through the CRA Academy.
That's right. We sure do.
Right? But that's the CRA Academy is also for anyone who wants to learn how to work in a clinic. It's the same thing. CRAs and coordinators really are doing the same thing, just from opposite sides of the coin.
Yep.
The only exception is the CRAs do not interact with patients.
Correct.
Coordinators do. Now, working on your business, right, building the systems, creating those SOPs, creating the business plan, even a step before that, recruiting PIs, training staff. You can't do those things without knowing the details of how to work in the business.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you recommend clients do first? Obviously, the first thing you need if you're planning to start a site is to get a PI.
Well, I guess the way to answer the question you were about to ask, who would you prefer to partner with? Somebody who's well-established in business practices or a coordinator? Who would you rather start a research business with?
Coordinator.
Right, because it's probably easier to teach a coordinator how to work on their business because they've already worked in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more difficult to teach somebody who just knows philosophically and is maybe good at sales when it comes to business how to work in the business.
Yeah, especially in a highly regulated industry like clinical research.
Right.
Where there's a lot of nuances, there's a steep learning curve, right? So working in the business is more important.
I would agree.
Than working on it. Working on it, I mean, it's a little bit of common sense. And the good thing is once you learn how to work in it, you start, if you have common sense in you or any entrepreneurial DNA, you'll start to understand what you need to focus on to build your business.
I think if you have somewhat of a salesmanship type, I don't know what the word would be for a female, but if you're good at sales in any way, I think you can translate that from working in your business to working on your business. For the most part.
Yes.
For the
yes.
most part.
And you can, and you probably will when you're starting out, do both.
Is there a female word for salesmanship?
Saleswomanship?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that used.
I use salesmanship for women, too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
When you're first starting out, you can do both. And you should always be doing both, but... And some people like working in the business. They like working in their site, right? They like... Here's a good example. You were just at Subway for lunch,
mm-hmm.
right? You were telling me about the owner. She owns like 30 stores.
Right.
But she knows how to work in the business too.
Yeah.
She made your sandwich the other day.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think that's all she does? Obviously not.
No. Of course not. She owns 30 plus sites.
Right. So there's value in getting your hands dirty.
Right.
Even when you are expanding, even when you are successful.
Well established. I mean, I'm sure she's very successful.
It's for the same reason why I'm still dabbling with monitoring, why at least at Global, our other site, I try to help out with like QA.
Mm-hmm.
Because because I'm good at working on the business, but the further I go without working in the business, the more I lose touch with the realities. And the reality changes. There's nuances every year, just small changes.
Sure.
Every year, right? Like, IRB submissions are now all done electronically. But when I was working in the business, they were all mostly done on paper.
And they were done more often, too.
And they were done more often. Little nuances that don't really make a huge difference. But if you've been out of the picture for a while, focusing on growing the business, you forget those things.
You forget, so then when you ask, change.
Yeah, and then you give a coordinator who's brand new... incorrect instructions on how to do something because you're assuming.
Who's to blame?
Yeah, you're assuming it's me.
Right.
You're assuming it's the way it was when you were working in it. So that's why the Subway sandwich owner makes sandwiches.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know her, but I'm pretty sure that's why.
Yep.
Right. How is she going to train somebody on where to put the lettuce and the onions if she hasn't done it for a while? Maybe they moved it from the left side to the right side.
Right.
Maybe you asked
that
whatever the
standards
time.
Are.
I don't know what the standards are. But for the same thing for running a research site.
Sure. I would agree with you.
And there are people watching and listening with money that are hearing this.
No? Yeah?
Yeah, there are tons.
Huh?
Hit me up, right? 949-415-6256. Venmo me some money.
Oh.
Let's make it happen.
Just hold your hand out.
Just let's do it. All right? They're out there. We talk to them a couple times a week.
Okay.
Where they're like, you know what?
In case you didn't realize, he's joking.
No, I'm actually not joking.
Oh, not joking.
Yeah, send it to me. DanSfera@gmail.com is my Venmo.
You got a PayPal that you can send?
DanSfera@gmail.com, Venmo.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. Hit me up. Thank you. Also, text Guru to 31996. Guru. Let me make sure I got this right. Yeah. Text Guru to 31996.
And what happens?
I don't know. You're going to have to find out.
Well, they might think they get charged $100.
Well, you won't.
Do they get charged anything?
No.
Okay.
Standard telephone rates apply. May apply.
Sure. You might get a 50-cent text charge.
Well, that's whatever between you and your phone company, not me. I don't get a dime.
Right.
All
right?
So we get all these rich people reaching out, watching. Hello. Reaching out, listening, how's it going, rich people? And they say, hey, you know...
Is that a bad thing?
It's good.
To be a rich person, is that a bad thing?
No, it's a fantastic thing.
Okay.
Are you kidding?
Okay.
It doesn't mean happiness, though, but it's...
In this day and age, some people look at it as...
If you're going to be... If, like, take happiness out of the equation, because money does not equal happiness.
So we're getting philosophical now. Forget
Let's
what we're
go,
just talking
well,
about.
Well, you just interrupted me. So, take happiness out of the equation, right? And I've never been, like... ultra wealthy, but we make enough to where we don't have to
money's
worry
not
about
a concern.
Things.
Right.
Right? Take that out of the equation. Like happiness.
Right.
It's better to be rich than poor. Just bottom line.
Well, of course.
It
I
gets
agree
you
with
freedom.
You.
It gets you.
I, would
I mean,
agree
that's
with
the
you.
Main thing.
Just because you have money doesn't make you happy.
Right. So it's
but,
a good thing.
But it makes
it's
it
a good
e-
thing.
Makes it easier to be happy.
Yes. So it's a good thing you asked me if it's a bad thing to be rich. No. Hell no.
Okay. Right? But you do understand a lot of people think it is these days.
Well, you know, they can go join the leftist movement and let's get everyone to be equal.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Not to make this a political show.
No, of course not.
There's elements of that are good, but yeah, as
both sides
as
have good elements.
Yes. But as a whole, that's a failed strategy.
Well, you don't believe in socialism?
No, and if you do, Venmo me all your money to the email I provided you earlier. Seriously.
You're cracking me up.
So anyways, hello rich people. They're listening, watching, they're saying, Dan, you know, I know a lot of doctors, I've never owned a site, but like I'm coming from the hospital business and I want to open up 100 clinics, right? But I just want to hire coordinators. I don't want to learn all this stuff. I say, well, you still have, there's some basic fundamentals you have to know about working in the business. And you can read about those in our book that's coming out soon.
Yep.
The Comprehensive Guide to Clinical Research. You can learn about those by watching the 4.5-hour video I did, The Comprehensive Guide to Clinical Research. But would you agree that they should, no matter how wealthy they
are? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, how are you going to digest a concern that even if you've hired everybody to handle every aspect of clinical research,
mm-hmm.
somebody's still going to be, you're still going to hold somebody accountable, right?
Right.
Whether it be the site director or manager, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to be able to relate to what that person's telling you if you have no clue what's going on?
Right.
Right? You have to have an understanding.
Zero clue. Now, the good news for you sites out there, because we're telling you where to start first, okay? Obviously, you need a PI and a study first. That's it. But, okay, so you have to work on your business initially. Set up the LLC, get a PI, get a study, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now, you could spend the rest of the year after getting that first study to work in the business, work in that study. Learn everything you can. Here's why. Not only are you going to learn and focus on your operations, but the fact that you're working in your business is indirectly working on your business because that sponsor, that CRO, that monitor is going to like your work and bring you more studies. So your work in the business is helping your work on the business.
Sure, yeah.
And then you build the systems in place to hire people so you can expand and do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start out, that's what you should be doing.
Well, I mean, we've advised clients all different ways of handling the same information.
Yeah, because everyone has different variables.
Right. So, I mean, we've told some clients, hey, what you should do is hire an experienced coordinator and have that coordinator teach you as you go along.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's a number of ways you can go about this.
But they're still learning how
exactly.
to do it.
There's a number of ways to go about this, but you should still know how to work in and on your business.
Both.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yep.
Now let's go from a group that prefers to focus on how to work on the business, most sites, to a group that doesn't think enough about that. And it's the contract, mostly contract CRAs, but I mean, just throw in any CRA here, any employee, right? Whether you're an independent contractor or a W-2 employee, you are a business, the business of you, right? You are.
Yeah, I can see that.
The government treats you as a business. You have a social security number.
Yeah, that's right.
You're a revenue generating asset, hopefully, for the government, right? If they consider you a business, why aren't you considering yourself a business?
Sure.
So these are the people who are familiar with working in their craft, right? Like how to do it, how to be a CRA, how to be a coordinator. But they're the ones who are usually not thinking about how to grow their capabilities and grow themselves
mm-hmm.
to potentially generate more or expand their options later. This means networking. This means joining conferences, going to conferences, joining things like SOCRA and ACRP,
mm-hmm.
going to ClinicCon in October in Orlando, right?
Is that beneficial to a coordinator?
Yeah.
ClinicCon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Networking.
Well, okay.
They're going to meet people.
Definitely beneficial to CRAs.
Coordinators do.
Yeah, okay.
A coordinator may want to open their own site.
This is true.
They may want to be a CRA. They may want to be a consultant.
Also true.
There are all kinds of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So this group doesn't think enough about the employees and the CRAs and the CRCs. they don't think enough about how to work on their business, which is themselves.
Mm-hmm.
All they think about is how to work in what they're doing. And they become so specialized that they become vulnerable to when opportunities come around, or sometimes they become obsolete. They're not needed anymore. They have no other skills. They didn't spend any time working on themselves in this industry. There's tons you can do. If you're a generalist, the more of a generalist you are in this industry, the better your career prospects will be in any environment. You know I'm right.
For the most part, yeah.
Thank you. We can end it on that. You just agreed with me.
I like the shirt. I agree with you often.
I drink and I know things. Game of Thrones. Can't wait.
That's right. Neither can I.
So that's the difference. Working in, working on. You need to do both, I think, is the theme for this video and podcast. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
I don't drink much. Since you're reading this out loud, people are going to now think I'm an alcoholic like Tyrion.
He drinks a lot of Diet Coke.
This I do, yes.
So good. Is this a good webinar topic?
Yeah, I think so.
Especially when we break it down. Like on the webinar, Carl is going to break down the points we discussed.
I think we've done separate webinars on these topics, though, right?
Yeah, but not one together.
Individually.
Not one together. Not one for like not just the sites, but the CRAs and CRCs out there, right? And then PIs, too.
Sure.
Doctors.
So I have a question. Not that anybody would be watching this outside of the research industry, but do you think that would apply to anybody in any field?
What, being a generalist?
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it enough. My impulse is to say yes.
So you're a garbage man.
My impulse is to say yes.
Learn business administration?
I think it's a tremendous value when you know a lot about very little, like a CRA or a CRC, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also when you know a lot or a little about a lot. If you can do both of those, you're good. And then each time you're learning more about something else, you just learn more and more and more about it. And then you do something else and learn more. Like CRA, right? You hone your craft as a CRA. You're an expert, but you don't know anything about owning a site, or very little. So now you want to do that. You go, you know, you learn as much as you can about that. Maybe you're successful, maybe you're not, but at least you learn some more stuff. Then maybe you want to be a consultant. Maybe you want to get into regulatory affairs, like our guy with Dr. Lee, who we just spoke to. I mean, I don't know where he started out, but I would guess somewhere in the project manager medical monitor space.
Very knowledgeable.
And now he's regulatory affairs.
Very knowledgeable guy.
Look at Darshan.
Yeah.
Started out as an attorney and a pharmacist. Then he got into helping sponsors file NDA and IND submissions. Mm-hmm. Then he went into how to help sponsors communicate better with customers, marketing. Like he's doing this, right? He's working. Not only is he working in his own business, but he's working on himself. Brand Darshan. Right? So, really anything.
Sorry, I'm trying to remember an expression.
Yes?
There's an expression for men. I can't remember how it goes. I'm going to slaughter it. But basically it says, be a generalist at everything and a specialist at one. An expert at one.
Yeah. But why not at two?
It's difficult, right?
Sure, because once you start becoming an expert in something else,
you'll eventually lose
your expert status unless you keep active,
right?
Because you can be expert at multiple things.
It's going to be very difficult to be fairly knowledgeable at everything,
right?
And an expert,
and
on
no one will ever get to that. It's the same thing with a site. You want to get to the point where, as a site, you can say yes to every study that comes across your
desk. Yeah, it's where you want to be.
It's the equivalent of that.
Sure, where you want to be.
This employee building your capabilities is the equivalent of a site getting to the point where they can say yes to every study. Because they have the capabilities, sure, the expertise. It's something that's unattainable for everybody. But it's something everyone should strive to if they're interested in building their career, expanding their opportunities. If they're not, it makes no sense. Just do your job, go home, and, you know, be a normal person.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that either, but it's just, this is for everyone listening and watching who wants more, wants to grow, wants to expand. And that's the advice we're giving them. If that's not you, that you don't need to, you know, you don't need to do any of this. Just minimal what you need to get by with your job. And there's plenty of CRAs that do that. They just coast, and then they retire, and that's it. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But we know our audience. These people want more. All of them.
All of them?
And if you do, Venmo me some money.
Still begging.
Yeah. Never done that before. Yeah, I doubt I'll get anything.
Should we make a bet on this?
No, I'm not betting you anything anymore. All year. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Catch y'all later.
So, hey, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to another episode of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Again, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you leave a review, if you could be so kind, please. And also go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com if you're interested in learning more about who I am, who some of my guests are. You can have access to some of my YouTube videos. I do a lot of videos about clinical research. So go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com. And you can also call or text me anytime, 949-415-6256. Also follow me on any social media platform. It's Dan Svera. And you can also email me if you'd like, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Thank you very much.